2 years ago in South Sudan, waves of people rushed to the gates of United Nations peacekeeper bases. They begged for sanctuary amid an ethnic civil war. The UN did what it did not do during the genocide in Rwanda in 1994. It opened the gates and saved hundreds of thousands of lives. But as NPR's Gregory Warner reports, the UN's move to shelter civilians in the long term might have prolonged the war.
The outbreak of civil war in South Sudan took the UN mission there by surprise. No one expected the political rivalry to spiral so quickly into ethnic conflict. And the UN bases were certainly not equipped to shelter thousands of people. But peacekeeping soldiers got to work, digging latrines, building levees against the fierce rains. Here in the camp in Bentiu, in the north of the country, people took refuge even during the fiercest rains, when women had to stand all night in waist-deep water in the camp holding their children aloft so that they wouldn't drown while sleeping. Today, 2 years later, the camp is transformed. UN press officer Zenebe Teklewald proudly shows me the newest part of the camp under construction, an annex just in case thousands more people arrive.
With the proper block names and all that.
And then there'll be schools for every?
There are schools and water facilities, clinics, churches.
It's like the UN is building a city.
Yeah, it looks like a city because if you see the population, it's more than now 100,000.
More than 100,000 people would make this the biggest city in 100 miles. Except it's not a city. It's a temporary camp that's supposed to start dismantling whenever real peace arrives. There are dozens of camps just like this around the country. The people living here are grateful. They say they wouldn't be alive if not for these UN peacekeepers from India and Moldova and even Rwanda.
Good morning.
Good morning, teacher.
How are you?
We are fine, thank you, teacher.
At a primary school in the camp, I meet 29-year-old headmaster Simon Tutkol. He lists off all the things his students lack, enough chairs and textbooks.
No textbooks, all those challenges they are facing here.
And do the kids know why that is?
Yes, they know them. It is the soldiers, these are the government that destroy all those things.
The government destroyed all those things?
In the schools.
The government is associated with one ethnic group, the Dinka. This camp harbors primarily another, the Nuer. A study of these camps was released today by the International Refugee Rights Initiative. Senior researcher Dr. Lucy Hovell says that while the UN did the right thing, the brave thing, even, in opening up the gates, these camps also enforce ethnic divisions.
People outside of the camps believe that inside the camps they are harboring a lot of combatants who laid down their arms as they entered.
That association with the rebels makes it harder for people inside these walls, especially the young men, to ever leave the camps, which are also known as Protection of Civilian Sites, or POCs.
Some people said to us, if we go home now and they say, well, where have you been for 2 years? And we say in a POC site, then they will associate us with having been part of the conflict itself.
That conflict still simmers despite a peace agreement signed in August. Government officials and rebel leaders have fueled the distrust with ethnic rhetoric. And Hovell says that's a catch-22 of the UN role. The hard walls that keep civilians safe allow resentments to build up on both sides. Government officials have even come on the radio to say that anyone refusing to leave the camp is a rebel sympathizer. Just before I left the primary school, I wandered into a classroom of fifth graders singing an anthem from South Sudan's independence in 2011. This is our land. This is our motherland. The headmaster told me he wished that government officials could come hear for themselves this song of unity, if any of them dared set foot inside this camp. Gregory Warner, NPR News, Bentiu, South Sudan.